And so Zacchaeus might not necessarily look like what people expected or talk like people expected or even behave like people expected, but he didn't have this people complex. Well, welcome to Brothers of the Word, because brother, you need the word. I wanted to share a funny story that I came across. My best friend actually sent to me, and I thought it was kind of interesting. He sent it a couple of months back, but I still think it's very relevant, and the title of it caught my eye. And the title of the article said, "A would-be bride, age 107, seeks her first husband." Somebody say, "Lord have mercy." It said, "Would-be bride, 107 years old, seeks her first husband." It says, "107-year-old Chinese woman who was afraid to marry when she was young has decided to look for her first husband in hopes to find a fellow centenarian so that they'll have something to talk about." And it then goes on to say how she's getting older. She says, "I'm already 107 and I still haven't gotten married." This lady has some perspective. She says she's 107 and she hadn't gotten married yet. Now, I don't know a whole lot of people. A lot of people in my family ain't lived to see 107, but I just like her attitude. It says all the, she had some bad experiences with marriage and just her view. And she said all the married people around here live like that. She saw husbands attacking their wives and things like that. So she said her reason for not marrying was that getting married was too frightening. So she didn't want to fool with it. But a few things jumped out to me after reading this article. The first thing that stuck out to me was that fear kept this lady from stepping out and seeking something that she's always wanted. The article, I don't want to read it in length, but it says how she always wanted to be married, but because of her example, fear kept her from doing that. I know nobody in here ever struggled with fear keeping them from doing anything, but that's just the 107-year-old lady who's looking for her first husband. The second thing that stood out to me from this article was how just a few bad examples totally warped and distorted her view of something that's actually good and positive. And it's amazing how we live in a world where one small thing can be blown up and just throw our view totally out of whack. And see, by the fact that she grew up and witnessed bad marriages, she assumed that that's what marriage was about, at least from the wise perspective. But too many bad examples and not enough good examples of what she was dealing with. And we have to make sure that we always keep greater things in front of us to strive towards. And then the third thing that jumped out to me was that you're never too old to achieve your goals. This lady, 107, and she said, "I'm about to get me a man. I don't care if nobody else don't get a man. I'm about to go." And it even, where did it say? She said, their local officials have said that they are happy to help her search for a 100-year-old groom, and they suggested her family get in touch with old people's homes to find candidates. Amen. I just liked her attitude. I was inspired by her attitude that she said, "Even though I'm 107, I'm still going to go after the things that God's placed in my heart." So you're never too old to be what you could have been. If you have your Bible, open up to Luke 19. Luke 19, where we're going to read a very familiar passage of scripture, and I think it ties in well with our Chinese sister. When you get to Luke 19, say amen. Beginning with the first verse, the word of God reads, it says, "Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich, and he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, 'Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house.' So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully." Everybody say joyfully. "But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, 'He's going to be a guest with the man who is a sinner.' Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, 'Look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I've taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore it fourfold.' And Jesus said to him, 'Today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham.'" And then verse 10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." And just for a few moments, I want to speak from the subject simply of the people complex. Everybody say the people complex. Now, everybody knows this is a very familiar passage of scripture. And the thing, I got to be honest, one reason that Zacchaeus, I've grown to love him even more. I have a 2-year-old and a 6-month-old. And my 2-year-old, one of his favorite songs that he sings at nursery school is a song about Zacchaeus. And one day I picked him up from school and he was in the back seat, and I was just asking him how his day was, and he was, you know, telling me everything, and I just heard him sort of singing and making this chant in the back, and I said, what in the world is he talking about? I didn't understand it. So the next day I went to the school, and I asked this teacher, I said, you know, sister so-and-so, what's, you know, my son was saying something about something. I'm not fully sure I understand what he was talking about, but what he was saying was, Zacchaeus, you come down. I'm coming to your house today. Anybody with kids, y'all might know that song. But anyway, it was about Zacchaeus. And I just think about Zacchaeus because Zacchaeus had his heart set on something. Anybody in here have their heart set on something? Anybody have dreams? Anybody have hopes, aspirations, visions? Well, you know what? Zacchaeus had his heart set on something, and he realized that he had to do something radical to obtain it. He had to get above the crowd. He had to go out on a limb. He had to do some things because desperate people do desperate things. And Zacchaeus was determined to see Jesus. And I'm just encouraged because I just love to see people who have a heart and a passion and a desire to see who Jesus truly is. Not merely who mama said Jesus is. Not merely who grandmama told me about. Not about this person I hear about in church, but somebody that I'm going to go after and see for myself. But Zacchaeus had a little bit of a problem. Zacchaeus was a short man. Not only was he short, but he was rich. He had a lot of reasons and a lot of excuses that he could have used, just like us. Some of us might flip it and say, well, I ain't got the money to go after my dream. I don't have the money to start my business. I don't have money to start a family. But Zacchaeus was a man of faith. Everybody say faith. And you know, people probably mocked Zacchaeus for what he did. They say, look at this fool climbing this tree. What in the world is he doing? But the thing I love about Zacchaeus, he didn't allow the opinions of people. He didn't allow this people complex to keep him from pursuing Jesus. Because you probably had one group who probably saw Jesus coming and they just had a real nonchalant attitude and said, oh, that's just Mary and Joseph's boy. He ain't nobody special. That's just the carpenter. But then you had another group who reverenced him and understood that that's the one that they said, this is the beloved and who I'm well pleased. But Zacchaeus didn't fit this profile of what people thought that the type of person that Jesus would associate with. They couldn't believe that Jesus would associate with such a person. Earlier today, I eulogized a 19-year-old young man who was murdered last week. And just in the midst of that service, I just sat there and so many thoughts ran through my mind. I thought, God, it's just so unfair that his life got snuffed out short. You know, God, just so many thoughts going through my head. But I just realized, knowing who this young man was, that he was at peace. And he had graduated to the place that we're all trying to get to one day. The Bible tells us to have faith in God. Everybody say, have faith in God. Unfortunately, we live in a society where people will put faith in people. People will put faith in stuff. People will put faith in things. But our faith, our hope, our trust has to be in God and in God alone. And sometimes our focus gets a little off. And every once in a while, God has to shake some things up just to refocus us and make sure we realize that our help all comes from him. Sometimes when we're doing things for so long and sometimes we feel like we just got this thing down. We know last time I got in a tight spot, I just prayed. I just had this person pray for me. I reached out to this person. I did this and God came through. And we think we just got a cookie cutter model for what to do when we get in trouble. But God says not so. Sometimes he'll take a real composed person, real laid back introverted person, and have them to do something totally crazy and out of character. But depending on how much of God you want, sometimes you got to do some things that are radical. Some things you got to do things that are out of the norm. And so Zacchaeus might not necessarily look like what people expected or talk like people expected or even behave like people expected, but he didn't have this people complex. He didn't allow that to hold him in bondage. Because here's what happens. You got some things going on. You come to church, yeah, and y'all are the mature saints, because y'all come in the middle of the week. You know, you gotta press your way in the middle of the week to come. Everybody go to church on Sunday. You know, that's just what we do. So you feeling okay. But once you get in certain modes, you might have this superiority complex saying, well, I'm not as bad as so-and-so. At least I go to church. At least I pay my tithes once a month. At least I pray. At least I bring my Bible to church. And sometimes we take this superiority complex. But then we have on the other end where we can look at some great men and women of God and they got their stuff together. I mean, it's tight. And we like, man, woe is a sinner. I'm nothing more than a sinner. I'll never measure up. And we walk around with this inferiority complex because we allow people to dictate to us how we should feel, what we should feel like. But our hope and our faith and our trust has to be put in God and in God alone. I love the fact that Zacchaeus had a determination that he's not going to let anyone keep him from obtaining what God promised him. Now, some people despised him because he was rich. They probably looked at him and said, who do you think he is? I don't care that he got money. That don't mean anything to me. Some people despise him because he was short. Ladies, y'all know y'all don't like short men. I had a good friend in college. He was 5'3", and he just had a thing for this girl that was in our class, and she was a good 5'7", and she would not date him because he was too short. He was too short. He disqualified himself. But I just want you to know just a few lessons that we can learn from Zacchaeus, because Zacchaeus understood that he had to have this encounter with Jesus in order to get him where he needed to be. It wasn't by accident or coincidence that he had this encounter. Because some people will feel like, okay, I got a little money going, I got right connections, I got this, I got that. But sometimes you just gotta have that God factor. You gotta have God to breathe on what he's already entrusted into your hand, but you're just waiting on that breath of God to come just breathe in you and on you. And so there are a few things I like to just draw out from the life of Zacchaeus that I think could help us all. The first thing that we can learn from Zacchaeus is that you got to be willing to do something daring. You got to be willing to do something daring. If you're going to live in this life, you got to be able to take some risks. No risk, no reward. You got to be willing to go out on a limb. Verse 4 says he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. Now, he didn't try to play it cool and just get his stroll on and just say, I'll get there when I get there. He realized that there was a crowd, and he had to do something different, and he ran ahead. And some people want to be so cool, unless they see somebody else running, they just say, I'll get there when I get there. But he ran ahead. And when you have your heart set on something, you'll do what you have to do to obtain it. If it means cutting back on some social time, if it means watching how you spend your money, if you're going to bring your dream to pass, you got to cut some things off. You got to be willing to do something that other people aren't willing to do. Some people just want to live it up, eat, drink, be merry, have fun all the days of their lives, and they never want to sacrifice anything to obtain their dreams. But you got to sacrifice. Zacchaeus was determined to see Jesus. And you got to have a desperation and a hunger in your heart that, God, if I don't have this experience with you, I have no idea what's going to happen. I don't know if you've ever been to a point in your life where you've had to just cry out to God desperately, where you just don't understand at all. God, if you don't come through for me, I'm not going to make it. You got to be willing to do something daring. You got to be willing to do something different. You got to get out on the limb. The second thing we take from the life of Zacchaeus is that you got to go beyond and rise above people. Everybody say transcend. In other words, we got to go above and beyond average. Because average is the norm. Everybody wakes up every day and eats breakfast and goes to work and goes home and eats some dinner and watch some TV and go to sleep. That's normal. But Zacchaeus, he understood that he couldn't become satisfied with just average. Average people never stand out to you. Anybody here like to eat? Or am I the only one? I know y'all real health conscious here, so I know y'all watch what you eat. But I just love to eat. And see, average food doesn't stick out in my mind. One of my favorite shows on the Food Network is The Best Thing I Ever Ate. And they follow all these cooks and they talk about the best foods in all these different cities. And they don't just talk about just an average. I just had an average hamburger at McDonald's. I ain't never seen McDonald's on there. I never seen Burger King. I never seen anything normal. But you got to be willing to go above average. You got to be willing to get beyond the opinions of people. It's the most liberating thing when you die to yourself and you get to a place where people can say what they want to about you and it doesn't faze you. They can say all manner of evil against you, but it's like, okay, whatever. It's like you got armor on. It's just like their words just bouncing off. Ping, ping, ping. But you got to be willing to do more and to learn to transcend people, because people will hold you where you are if you'll allow them to. The third lesson I want us to take from the life of Zacchaeus is that you got to be thankful for the people in your life and the opportunities that God gives you. Verse 6 says that he made haste and came down. And it says he received Jesus joyfully. And I just love the fact how gratitude, how grateful Zacchaeus was. He, you know, Zacchaeus could have felt like, okay, wow, Jesus said, you know, come on down, you know, I'm going to your house today. That's all good and fine. Thank you, Jesus. That's nice of you. I appreciate it. It says it received him joyfully. I just envision a kid on Christmas Day when they just wake up in the morning, just bright eyed. They've been trying to stay up all night waiting to see what Santa Claus was going to bring. And once that moment hits, and I remember being younger a few times where I woke up in the middle of the night and I just had to get a sneak peek to make sure Santa had fulfilled my request. So I went in and peeked in a little early just because I was excited. I was joyful. And then once I saw it, I couldn't sleep. So my mama come in and wake me up at the time I'm supposed to get up. And I've been up all night because I saw the bike that she put under the tree. Santa Claus put under the tree. But Zacchaeus was thankful. Zacchaeus was grateful for the people in his life and the opportunities. Because it said he sought to see who Jesus was. And then it says he received him joyfully. When's the last time we received somebody joyfully? When's the last time we received our spouses joyfully? When's the last time we received our children joyfully? When's the last time we received our employers joyfully? Or if you're a manager, your employees joyfully. We have to receive people joyfully. Don't take your relationships for granted. Because truthfully, gratitude and thankfulness is the bridge for more to come into your life. A few weeks ago, we had roughly about 25 high school seniors graduate. And I went out and bought them some gift cards to a local establishment. And I mailed them to them. And a few of them texted me and said, you know, thanks, I got my gift card. I appreciate it. Some of them sent me a note on Facebook, say, thanks for thinking about me. I appreciate you celebrating with me. But a large majority hadn't heard a word from. Now, the next time it's on my heart to bless somebody, who do you think I'm more likely to bless? The one leper that came back to say thank you, or the 9 others that didn't even acknowledge you? You got to be thankful. The fourth thing we take from the life of Zacchaeus, don't allow others to define you. Whenever you give somebody the power to define you, they are always created too small. And I love the fact that Zacchaeus didn't look like what people thought he should look like. I love the fact that David didn't look like what people thought he ought to look like. Initially, I love the fact that Paul didn't look like the person who would write the majority of the New Testament. I just love the fact that we can't allow people to define what we should look like, how we should sound. Because some people called him a sinner, but Jesus called him a son. Jesus gave him identity, and that's where we have to get our identity from. He didn't allow himself to be restrained. I just love the fact that Jesus said to him, Zacchaeus, today salvation has come to this house because you're a son of Abraham. And there are times where we just need to hear a confirming word of affirmation that we are beloved, that we are precious in his sight, that we're the apple of his eye, that we're his son, that we're his daughter. But while people called him a sinner, Jesus called him a son. And the fifth thing we take from the life of Zacchaeus is that you got to stay focused. You got to stay focused. Broken focus is the reason for so many failures in our lives. You got to stay focused. Stick with it. Zacchaeus understood that had this encounter not happened, I don't think he would have made it in Scripture. It would have just been something we just passed through, like a lot of the genealogies we read in Scripture. But he didn't stop what he was doing to answer his critics. He didn't stop to answer his enemies, because the more you stay focused, the less you have time for mess and drama and unnecessary distractions. And I tell you, you got to be careful, because God, you know, as soon as God tries to take you on a certain path, the enemy will try to set up roadblocks. He'll try to set up detours. He'll set up frustrating situations just to get you mad, just to throw you off course. Because God will give you a dream in your heart, and you're like, yeah, God, I hear you, I got it. And then next thing you know, somebody done looked at you the wrong way. Somebody done cut you off in traffic. And you about to lay your religion down. All because you can't allow yourself to stay focused. But it's a few ways that you get over people, and I'm done. The first way that you get over people is that you got to know who God is. You got to know who God is. It's essential. How many of y'all have ever seen the movie Talladega Nights? Anybody ever seen Talladega Nights? Ricky Bobby? Okay. One of my favorite scenes in the movie, Ricky is praying and blessing the table, and Ricky just calls Jesus some of everything. He calls him, you know, little infant baby Jesus wrapped in swaddling clothes, little 6-pound, 4-ounce Jesus. And he just goes through this whole thing. It's a great scene. But his father-in-law says to him, he said, Jesus was a man, Bobby. And Jesus was a man. He said, but Chip, when you pray, you can address Jesus however you want to address Jesus. But when I pray, I'm going to talk to Jesus like I want to talk to Jesus. But you got to know who God is if you're going to get over people. The second thing, if you want to get over folks, you got to have confidence in who God has made you to be. You don't have to make any apologies for who God has made you to be. Even if you're cute in the face and thick in the waist, whoever God has made you to be, just be confident in who God has made you to be. There's nobody who can do it like you. There's only one you. So don't try to mimic or copy somebody else. Just be you. Be comfortable in your own skin. Know who God is. Have confidence in who God has made you to be. And the third thing, you got to know what you're called to do. You got to understand. You got to seek God daily to say, God, what is my purpose? Am I on track? Is this what you've called me to do? God, you got to help me know every day that I wake up, what's my purpose? Show me how my gifts and my talents, my abilities, my skills, how do these things line up with my passion and my experience and just these things that are flooding my heart, the things that I cry about at night. But we got to get hungry as Zacchaeus, where we say, Lord, I've got to have you. I've got to have you, God. I've got to have you. Whatever it takes, I've got to have you. Well, wow. All of our time is gone. It has slipped away. If you want to check out this message in its entirety, you can just go to airjesus.com and request message number 6311. And thanks so much for joining us for Brothers of the Word, because, brother, you need the word.